Hey, and welcome to the Humanity Church Podcast. So excited that you're here. We hope that you enjoy this week's talk and it really connects to your life in a meaningful way. If you're live in the Pomona area, we would love to have you at one of our gatherings at 10 a.m. or at one of our Humanity groups that meet all throughout the week, all over the city. If you want more information about our community, you can go to www.humanitychurch.com or download our app on your phone on Apple or Android. If you like what you're hearing here and want to continue to support the ongoing work at Humanity, you can text the word Humanity Church, one word, to 77977 and give back financially in just about 10 seconds. Hey, and here's this week's talk that was given live at our Sunday gathering at Humanity Church. Well, Merry Christmas, Humanity Church. We are so excited for Christmas. I'm excited for Christmas. It's going to be awesome. Christmas season is here. Hey, I just want to pause for a moment, and I would like to thank our tech team, our live production team, and our band. They are incredible. They are troubleshooting behind the scenes. They are making things happen. And it's a weird thing. For those of you who are at home, it's like this weird hybrid. We're live, but we're recording and all this stuff. We're getting used to this new hybrid situation that we have. And we started a movement this week for Christmas, and we're calling it Home for Christmas. And this is what I would love. We at Humanity Church have been committed since March of having a live gathering on Sunday mornings. Many other churches are recording something and premiering it, and no problem with that. We've just been committed in saying, hey, we believe there's power in having a live experience together. And I get it. How many of us are Zoomed out? We don't need another like online course. We don't need an online thing. And it's getting tiring, especially for those of you at home. Thank you for continuing to tune in week after week. But here's our request for the month of December, is that you would actually join us live. So if you're here live in the building, you can join us live. We're social distancing, temperature checks, masks, all the above. If you're joining us at home, join us actually live at 10 a.m. So we know it's easy to say, hey, I'll get to that on Tuesday. I'll watch that on Wednesday. I'll check the replay out on Thursday on YouTube. But there is something powerful about coming together and worshiping with one another, especially when we're all over the city, which is really, really incredible. And let's just be honest, we're forming habits right now that are going to stick with us for a little while. And so if Sunday at 10 a.m. has become like your brunch hour, once this pandemic's over, it's going to be really hard to get back into the swing of coming to a gathering. So let's not grow weary in gathering together and doing good and staying in the practice of being connected with one another. So we're going to come home for Christmas this year, which I'm excited about. This is that weird week where it's in between Thanksgiving and when Christmas really starts, you know? Everyone kind of has a food coma. Everyone ate a little too much, gained a few pounds over the last few days. And it's like definitely Christmas time that we're transitioning into, but it's not quite Christmas yet. But we are starting our Christmas series that we are calling A Thrill of Hope. And we are going to really be a beacon of hope for the city of Pomona. In fact, I'm so bummed. We were going to make the biggest reveal today, but it's going to happen tomorrow, all right? We'll film it. You can swing by. I'll let you know what it is. We have a 24-foot banner, a giant red ribbon that is going to hang down the side of our bell tower out front, and it has a giant 10-foot logo that says Hold On to Hope across it. And it is like the largest banner I've ever seen in my life. I don't know if you can make a bigger banner than this, but it is literally going to be a giant sign declaring all over the city that there is hope here, and we are holding on to that in the midst of darkness. And when we were talking about what we need this year, what message do we need at Christmas, just the theme of hope came running out. It was just like, man, this is so clear of what we need to be talking about this year, because hope seems to be waning thin, right? I mean, it's interesting because everyone's waiting for something. We're waiting for restaurants to reopen. We're waiting for a vaccine. We're waiting for schools. We're waiting for a president. We're waiting for what's next, right, with this whole pandemic thing. We're waiting to see if the economy is going to crash. We're waiting to see if we're going to make it. We're waiting for a stimulus check, right? And there's so much waiting that we find ourselves in that it's hard to hold on to hope in the middle of that. Everyone's looking for it. It seems so elusive at times. To step into this place of hope, to live in a place where that is the norm, where there is always light in the middle of the darkness. And it is getting more difficult to hold on to that for so many of us. The fact of the matter is that we as human beings are born hopeful individuals. That it is in our spiritual DNA that lives inside of us. We are born, every single one of us, filled with a sense of hope. You just have to be around children for long enough to recognize this.
Children are hopeful creatures, right? They are hopeful beings. They have hope instilled inside of them. I mean, Santa Claus is the perfect example of this, right? That every child hopes for this gift that Santa is going to bring them on Christmas morning. And there's so much joy in the future that is coming for them. But when you talk to kids, they have this beautiful, optimistic outlook on life about what's coming, what's possible, the future that's coming, and they are constantly believing that things are going to get better. My son Jackson just turned 4 years old, and he's actually been profoundly impacted by this pandemic. He watched a YouTube episode of Ryan's World a few months ago where they explained the pandemic and they explained the virus and all that that was. And when Jackson sees anything that looks remotely like a virus, in fact, we were just walking the other day and he picked up one of those spiky tree seeds and he picked it up and he said, "Look, it's a virus." And I hate the fact that this is the world that he's growing up in, that he's constantly talking about the virus. And we've had to explain to him why we can't go to the park, why we can't go to Disneyland, why we can't go to certain places. And we've just told him, hey, the world is sick right now. And so we have to wait till the world is better. And I can't tell you how many times I've been driving along with him in the back seat or we've been hanging out and playing. And out of the blue, he'll say, "Dad, the world's gonna get better. The world's gonna get better." And it just reminds me that his wheels are turning. He's thinking about how the world is sick out there, but his perspective is things are gonna get better, Dad, because that's what happens, that things get better. And every time that happens, it reminds me that we as human beings, our default, where we were born with, what is instinctually inside of us is this sense of hope. Now the funny thing about hope is that we hope for something, and then the second that we have it, the hope's gone, right? Hope is always a future expression. It is always connected to what's coming, never what is. So we hope and we long and we dream and then we get it and it's gone. Have you ever hoped for something and then when you got it, the hoping was actually better than getting it? Like, I remember the first time I got a new car. Like, I've only got a new car once ever. And I act as if I have multiple new cars. I've only gotten one new car ever. And I remember I was like hoping and dreaming and I'm a researcher. So I was online and looking at all the features and how it was going to feel. And you know, you get it and it's like, the smell's awesome. This is neat. And then after a week, it's kind of like, okay, that's cool, right? It just turns into a car. In fact, the first time I actually had to wash the thing, I was like, oh, this is not as cool as I thought it was, right? Because the hoping, like the longing and the dreaming and the wondering what it's going to be like was way more exciting than just signing away thousands of dollars and then getting into it and realize now I just lost tons of money, right? Getting into this vehicle, driving it off the lot. The hope was always better than the reality of what came in that. So we hope, and then we have this experience, and then the hope is released. We're no longer in the hoping for that thing. But here's the thing. Our hope muscle never quits. Have you noticed that? It's not like we hope, and then we get it, and then it's released, and we're done. There's never a point in time when our hope muscle stops. In fact, if your hope muscle ever stops, it's going to be a very sad day. That's where people drift into darkness. That's where people drift into really dangerous places when they stop hoping. But I love being around senior adults who are in their 80s and 90s and are still dreaming. They're still hoping. They're still thinking about the next holiday or the next moment with their kids or the next project that they're going to work on or the next thing that's coming up. And it just reminds me that the human spirit never actually starts hoping. There's always something else to hope for. And what marks us as human beings is our ability to hope for a more beautiful tomorrow, an exponentially more beautiful tomorrow. No other living creature on the planet does that. I mean, my dog does not wake up in the morning and thinks, you know, I hope that today is better than yesterday. I hope that I've progressed. I hope that my life becomes, they're just like, give me the bone, I'm done, I gotta poop, right? That's it. No other plant, no other animal on the planet dreams of an exponentially more beautiful future. We are the only beings on the planet that have been gifted with this ability to dream up a future and then step into it and create it in front of us. We instinctually also know that hopelessness is not a place that the human spirit was designed to be. Because every time we find ourselves in a space of hopelessness, we start to worry. We start to do everything we can to get away from the hopelessness, to get away from the depression, to get away from the anxiety, because there's something inside of us that says, this is not where I'm supposed to live. This is not what's supposed to be reality for me here and now. So there is this drive inside of all of us to become, to have a future worth having, to step into a space of hope. And we go to dark places when we stop hoping. I want to go to a moment in the scriptures that has nothing to do with Christmas, but has a lot to do with hope this morning. In Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 22, Jesus is having this moment with one of his followers. And it says this in Matthew 14, 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come out to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why do you doubt?" And when they climbed on the boat, the wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." See, Peter watches as Jesus walks on the water towards them in this boat. And he had this hope that he could see, that what he could see was not all that there was. That his life could extend beyond what was in front of him, beyond the waves and the wind and the storm that was in front of him, that he could defy the very laws of nature in this moment and experience something beyond what was normal. Now, of course, this moment represented something far bigger than Peter. I mean, I don't think at this moment he was like, "Whoa, that's super cool," right? Like, Jesus is walking on the water. I'd like to do that too, right? I don't think he was just like, "Hey, that will be a cool trick. Let me try this." It wasn't like a water skiing party, right? Where he was like, "Let's just try to walk on the water." See, this represented something far bigger for Peter than just a simple parlor trick that he could do, that Jesus could do with him. See, he was a fisherman. And this moment represented that as a fisherman, he could press past the cards that life had dealt him. That he could actually have a life beyond what he could see and what he could smell, what he could dream up. That he could actually press past the here and now into something far more bigger, that was bigger than him, that was bigger than his buddies, that was bigger than what was available to him in that moment. That he could actually step into a future exponentially more bigger than just this. And so he says, "Jesus, can I come out on the water?" He's actually saying, "Jesus, am I allowed to hope like this? Am I allowed to hope? Am I allowed to actually dream of a life that transcends my small fisherman mindset and what I've known my entire life to be true about everything?" And so he steps out and he gets in the water and he starts to walk, and his hope is fulfilled. See, it actually moves from hope to reality. The hope's gone because now he's walking on the water. He's like, "Whoa, I hoped that I could do this. I hoped that my faith would sustain me just like Jesus." And it did. And so he moves into this new reality, and everything shifts for Peter in this moment. Everything shifts for Peter in this moment. Because here's the thing. Once you've walked on water, you can never go back. Once you know that that's possible, once you know that that type of living is available, you can just never go swimming again, right? That's not even like, that was like, "Oh, that's cool, but I'd rather walk on the water," right? I'd rather do that than take a boat. And so he can never actually unsee what he's seen and unexperience what he's experienced here. See, the second that your life connects to Jesus and you hope in him, everything shifts. Everything changes. All of reality moves in that moment, and that you can never ever go back. You can never unsee, you can never unexperience what you've experienced when you've connected to Jesus in the middle of this. There is only pretending that you don't see it anymore. That's all there is. From that point forward, there's only pretending that that doesn't exist. "No, I didn't walk on water. No. That wasn't that big of a deal. That probably really was just like a figment of my imagination." In that, there's a verse that we're going to talk about in just a little bit, but I love that Isaiah, he constantly is saying, "Have you not seen? Have you not heard?" Because he's reminding a group of people, "You walked on water. You lived a life of faith. You can look back on your life and see how God has sustained you moment after moment after moment. You cannot unsee that anymore. So he says, have you not seen? Have you not heard? What has happened? What has taken place? This is why I actually love working with cynical people. I actually really love working with cynical people, especially people who are cynical with Jesus, because cynicism just lets me know that there's still hope. That's all it does. See, because people who have lost hope don't care. But people who are cynical, there's still hope left. They're still holding on to something. There's still that like, yeah, well, he's a jerk because I know that I'm allowed to walk on water and I can't do it right now. Because I know what's possible, I've experienced it, and right now I can't feel it, so it feels like Jesus is a jerk, it feels like God's let me down, and what that lets me know is, oh, there's still hope. You still remember when you walked on water. You still remember when he came through for you. You still remember when he showed up. You still remember when he used you. You still remember when he did something miraculous in your life. You're just cynical right now because you can't experience it, or you're unwilling to right now. But then something interesting happens. Peter's walking on the water. Everything's shifted. Everything changes. And then the scriptures say something so profound. It says that he sees the wind. Now, we all know you can't see the wind. But Peter did. And I love that all kinds of theologians, when they talk about this, they actually switch it. They'll read the verse, but then later on when they're talking, they'll say, Peter saw the wind and the waves. It didn't actually say that he saw the waves. It just says that he saw the wind. And that's what caused him to fall. That he actually saw something that was not actually visible to him in that moment. Because here's the crazy thing is hope is actually seeing the unseen. That's what hope is. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, like the quintessential verse on hope, it says, now faith or hope is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's the power of hope. Is that there is a certainty that what I cannot see is actually there. And that's the crazy thing about we as human beings is that God has given us this unique ability to see the unseen, to imagine a future, and then to connect to him and materialize it in front of us. To take everything that was not available, that we have made up in our mind, that we imagined, that we dreamed of, that God placed inside of us and says, I'm gonna go out there and I'm going to create it here and now. And I'm going to step into a future that wasn't there a minute ago. I can see a career and a movement that God has for me, and I create it. I see a community that's available, and then I create it. I see a family. I see freedom. I see a future, and then we create it. This is the power of Jesus. He gives us the ability to imagine an exponentially more beautiful future, and then allows us to step in and create it. I always feel sorry for people when they're just like, hey, someone needs to create this for me. Now look, we'll give you training wheels here at Humanity Church. We'll create a bunch of stuff for you. But then you gotta start creating, right? If you've been in this game for like 10 years and you're still waiting for someone else to lead a community group for you, guess what? We are way beyond someone holding your hand and creating for you. If you're waiting for someone else to put your life back together, guess what? Start creating. You have the power of hope within you. This is what Jesus does with us and through us and in us. But here's the thing. That gift to imagine an exponentially more beautiful future and then create it can be hijacked. It can actually be hijacked quite easily. We call it anxiety. We start imagining what could be. Imagining a dark future, a future that's going to fail, a future that is filled with hopelessness, and then we start creating that. Yeah. We start going out and we start materializing that future as well. Yeah. We start thinking about all the ways we're gonna miss it and all the ways we're gonna fail and all the ways that we're not enough and all the ways that I'm not gonna be able to get there, and then we start materializing that future because we hijacked the gift that God gave us to imagine an exponentially more beautiful future and then creating it. And Peter, he actually didn't physically see the wind. I don't think this was like some spiritual weird thing that took place. He didn't see the wind. He actually just started imagining what that wind was going to do to him. He just started using that gift of hope that he had just a second to get all on the water. It got hijacked, and now he started using it to see the wind in a new way. And now all of a sudden he starts seeing the wind, and he says, oh, no, I don't know if Jesus is powerful enough for this. I don't know if this is gonna turn out well. Why on earth did I get out of the boat? This is so stupid. I should have never done this. Can I just have one or two more steps to get back? because this wind is not going to be good. Now, here's the crazy thing. The wind was there just a few seconds before. The wind was there when he stepped out of the boat, but all of a sudden, he shifts his focus onto all of the things that could be, the shoulda, coulda, wouldas about the life around him, and it hijacked his ability to hope, and he started creating a future that caused him to sink in the middle of this, and that kind of thinking eventually leads to, oh no, I'm going to die, I need to save myself. And so we stop hoping, and we start surviving, and then we start materializing that in the world around us. See, along our journey, we pick up all kinds of things. We pick up all kinds of healthy things. We pick up things like spiritual practices and careers and people along the way. We pick up wealth and we pick up experiences and homes and transportation, and they can move us towards freedom or they can enslave us to them no matter how we engage them, but we also pick up more painful things along the way. We pick up failures. And we feel the sting of defeat for many of us time after time after time, whether that was in a marriage or a relationship or a career or a dream that you had. We feel the sting of defeat. We pick up words along the way. We pick up labels that other people placed on us or that we took on, labels that we placed on ourselves. And then we start to lean into those labels, those words, those adjectives. We pick up wounds where people hurt us or abandoned us or left us or abused us or weren't there for us in the way that they were supposed to. And all those voices start to grow stronger and stronger about what isn't possible and what could happen if I step out of the boat and dare to hope again. And that's what Peter was experiencing. Because history would tell him this is not a good idea. And all of a sudden, those voices got louder than the voice that said, step out on the water. This is gonna be an incredible future for you. See, he had something new. He had something fresh. He now had a future in front of him that was going to blow away anything that he had before, because now he was experiencing the miraculous, life-altering nature of following Jesus and following in hope and living by faith. And then he saw the potential of losing it all. He saw the potential of going back to the life that he had, and he used all of his power that he had to dream of a new future to create a nightmare for himself. And so he sank, and he found himself now thrashing, trying to survive, rather than just one instant ago walking on water. And this is where we find ourselves. This last June, I experienced this in like the new way that I had never experienced before. We were in the middle of the pandemic. Things had been closed for months. People were calling up and they were either saying, hey, I'm really angry with you, that you're not open, that you're not defying the governor, and that you're not doing what God's called you to do. I had people calling us up saying, you're not doing enough. This was in the middle of racial breakdown across the nation. People saying, you're a racist community, I'm leaving, or you're too woke, and so we're not gonna be a part of this anymore. And I found myself one night with all of the what ifs, that ability to hope that God gave me to dream up Humanity Church with a community of people, to create communities, all of a sudden was being hijacked. And now all I could think of is, oh no, it's all gonna fall apart. It's all gonna be gone. This pandemic's gonna lift like a fog and we're gonna just watch as it's empty. There's no one there. And I felt the darkness start to overtake me in a way that I had never experienced before. In fact, I woke up in the middle of the night and I just told Marla, I was like, I don't know what's going on. I'm just having so many dark thoughts. I'm not used to them. I literally can't stop them. So I called up our team and I just said, hey, I need a week off. I can't come in. Don't wanna speak. Don't wanna be a part of it. And it took me like a week just to reconnect my thoughts back to the place where I was hoping again. But it was amazing how fast they got hijacked, how fast they turned to an avalanche of darkness that took me out of the game, and I found myself instantly sinking in the middle of all of that. And that's what happens when we choose to not hope, when we choose to let all the other thoughts come in like Peter, we sink and we find ourselves in a pit of despair, using our own gift that was designed for hope, leading us into a nightmare. And doesn't growing up seem to be like a slowly letting go of our dreams? That's the crazy thing about it, right? I just think, as a parent, I know I have these like lofty goals as a parent, and I'm like, I never want Jackson and Colin to let go of their dreams. And I know that's just a natural part of growing up, right? I mean, look, they want to be a paleontologist and an astronaut. Neither of those are probably going to happen. I don't know, maybe. But there's a slowly letting go of dreams as we grow older, and we start to betray this longing inside of us, this childlike hope for a future that God has for us. See, the question that we have to start asking ourselves is, what do we actually dream of now? What do we allow ourselves to be informed by God to dream of? What futures are we pursuing that God has placed inside of us that we say, we must pursue this because if we don't, we will never walk on water? And it seems to be impossible to move forward sometimes in the paralysis of that. See, we're much more confident in our ability to be mediocre than we are in our ability to be great. We're much more confident in our ability to screw things up than we are in our ability to hope for a future and step into that with the power of God behind us. One of my favorite quotes from Mark Twain says, "Most men die at the age of 27 and we just bury them at 72. Because we just forget that God designed us to be hopeful people, that we are the tribe filled with hope. And have you ever just resented that voice that kept driving you forward? You're just like, would you just stop, right? Would you stop? Would you stop like informing me of the family that's available? Would you stop informing me of the life that's available? Would you stop informing me of the impact that's possible? Would you just stop? Why can't we just live a comfortable life, right? Why can't we just kick back, right? I know for me, there's sometimes I'm like, just stop it. Why do you have to dream so big? Why do you have to dream so hard? Why do you have to long for so much? The problem is it's not me longing. It's God himself within me trying to get out the things that he has planned, not for my life, but for everyone else around me. For every single person that comes in contact with me. And it never seems to go away. We just get better at ignoring it. We just get better at trying to shut it down. See, sometimes the sting of resentment is the only thing that our souls remember, that we are not who we are supposed to be. It's not until we're in crisis that we ask ourselves, is this all that there is? There has to be more. Where is life going? Is there anything worth living for? And I love that Proverbs 32:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And you know what I found, especially for those who live in the suburbs, is that there is so much heart sickness because we've actually worked really hard to make our lives comfortable rather than to step into the power of hope that God has placed in us. We work really hard to protect ourselves from the world around us rather than to go full force into the future that God has created us here and now. What is it that you are daring to put your hope in? That you are brave enough to say, I am laying it all on the line. I don't care if I sink. I am willing to go all in to create this. See, because what you put your hope in will determine your future. Because part of what hasn't been working for so many people, for so many of us, is that we have been putting our hope in things that cannot create the future that we're longing for, that actually cannot create the very thing that we say we desire the most. See, so many people put their hope in money, and they look at their bank account to inform them of what's possible with their life. Let me tell you, if I looked at my bank account to inform me what's possible in my life, I would be in a hole, right? I would just be sitting there, probably in fetal position, crying, right? But here's the thing, is that if we allow money to determine what's possible for us, we will never actually have the future that we long for. If you put your faith in people, look, they're going to let you down. Not that you shouldn't hope in people, not that you shouldn't put your faith in there, but if that's where your source is, you are going to be sorely disappointed every single time. We put our hope in things, like if I just get the next thing, then my life's gonna be better. If I just get the next car, if I just get the next vacation, if I just get the next toy, if I just get the next whatever, my life's gonna be better. That's, you know what's the craziest thing to put your hope in? Yourself. That's crazy, right? I mean, if I would put my money, I would put my hope in money long before I put my hope in myself, right? Because I know me, and I get it wrong a lot with all of this. And we find ourselves putting our hope in all kinds of things that in the end leave us let down, and then we blame God for it. I can't tell you how many people I talk to that say, I'm just putting my intentions out to the universe. The universe doesn't care about your intentions at all, right? I don't care. You can do your mantras. You can do your affirmations. The universe is just spinning around, baby. That's all it's doing, right? And we put our hope in these things, and we wonder why we don't actually get back the longing that we have for us. See, the scriptures actually call those things idols. And the definition of an idol is something sacrificed to a victim, to become a victim to those things. I remember when I was... Back in the day when I was single and I had my BlackBerry. Anyone have BlackBerry? BlackBerry was the ish. This was before the iPhone, right? And I had my BlackBerry. I always had like the latest model of the BlackBerry. And BlackBerry announced one Christmas, the same Christmas that they announced iPads, they announced that they were coming out with a BlackBerry tablet. And all my friends got iPads, but no, I was the smart one. I got a BlackBerry tablet. Because BBM, right? And I was like, oh, so excited about my BlackBerry tablet. I was like at Staples the day that it came out, and I was gonna go get my BlackBerry tablet, and I was gonna show off to all my friends who had iPads. I was like, iPads, who needs an iPad, right? I got my BlackBerry tablet, and I opened it up, and I was like, oh, this is so awesome, this is so cool. I can BlackBerry Messenger Marla in Afghanistan when she was living there. And then it said, oh, no, the other person also has to have a BlackBerry tablet in order to BlackBerry Messenger them. I was like, oh, okay, well, that's not like a big thing. And all my other iPad friends were showing me all their cool apps. And I was like, well, I'm gonna download some cool apps. And I kid you not, there was a document processor and an egg timer. Those were the only two apps that were available. And for a year, I was like the evangelist for the BlackBerry tablet. I was like, no, wait, hold on. They're gonna release some things and it's gonna blow your mind, right? It's gonna be crazy. Because I put all my hope in the BlackBerry tablet, and guess what? I don't even know where the thing is. It's probably in a junkyard somewhere now. But guess what I have? An iPad, right? Because I had put my hope in the same thing. I thought it was gonna be the best thing ever, and I was so let down when I was wrong. And so many of us do that with our heart, that we just keep going. Like, maybe if I get more money, maybe if I get more people, maybe if I get more likes, maybe if I get more followers, maybe if I get more credibility, maybe if I get the better job. And we keep wondering, why does my hope keep falling apart? Why do I keep slipping through? So what does all of this have to do with Christmas? Why are we even talking about this? Because here's the thing. The birth of Jesus is God's giant invitation to you to hope again. It is God just saying, hey, hope again. Allow that muscle to rise up again within you to once again dream about what's possible, because now the creator of the universe is with you, Emmanuel, God, here and now, walking among you so that you can experience the reality of this. But this time, this is something that's going to move you into a greater reality. Because it is not God at a distance, it is God here and now. See, in Hebrews, it says, faith is assurance of the things that we hope for. It's just like, hey, I am assured that the things that I long for in my heart, that God is there to move them forward. Now, let me just tell you, this is not some weird health, wealth, prosperity thing. I'm not saying that if you have a desire for a Ferrari, he's gonna say, manifest it. That is not what this is about, right? So I just wanna be super clear. Those of you online, that's not what this is about at all. God sent his son as a baby at Christmas time, and he had hope. He brought hope that God himself hoped As he put his son into the world, God's hope manifested in this baby as Jesus, that the Son of God was now in the world and he was going to walk among us and talk like us and eat with us, and he was going to be crucified and sacrificed so that we could have the very power of God, not living out there, but living in here. So that he could start once again informing our heart and our mind and our soul and our body about the very things that he longed for, and that the darkness was going to be dispelled because of the light that was now available in us. And Jesus, he came to assure us, to secure for us the very things that our souls long for. That it's a reminder. It is a reminder of the power that he has given us through him. That tomorrow will always look better, that love will win over and over and over again, that we can actually become the person that God dreams of. You know what's amazing? When I talk to people about what they want in life, and we just talk long enough, we can get past all the exterior of the career and of the money and of the prestige and of the recognition. Every single human being, that when we start talking and we get past that down into the deeper layers of what we're actually looking for, we're all looking for the same thing. We're all looking for something powerfully and profound to love. We're all looking for something to put our hope and our faith in. And we're all looking to give ourselves to a mission that will radically transform the world. And when God says, I have come so that you might have hope, it's for those things. Not so that you can have money, or so that you can have a new car, or so that you can have more likes or whatever it is, but that the deep longings that are God-sized inside of you will be fulfilled. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31 says this. Isaiah chapter 40, 28 through 31 says this to us. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and they will not be faint. See, God does not grow tired in his sustaining and his giving. And this is the promise, that we would be renewed, that we would be made new over and over and over again, that we would run, that we would run as far and as hard as our heart will go, and we will not grow weary in transforming the world around us. And that we would walk and we would not grow faint. That we would keep going, that we would be sustained in the middle of this. Now we have a hope that cannot be shaken, and that's the thrill of hope. That's the thrill of this moment. I love O Holy Night. It's like my favorite Christmas song. And I love that line, that a thrill of hope, that the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new glorious morn. And that's what we're gonna be celebrating at Christmas this year. This thrill of hope within us, this thrill of hope that comes in the Christmas story, that the weary world is rejoicing because a light has broken in the midst of the darkness. The call of Jesus is a dare to dream again. It is a dare to allow your heart to go there again, to live in the possibilities of a future fueled by love and sustained by our faith. That our souls might be willing to say again, hold on to hope. Hold on to hope. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you have come so that we might experience the fullness of hope, that we might once again dream of a future worth having, that we might once again dare to awaken that longing inside of us. To step into the adventure that you have in front of us, not for us, but that we might transform the world around us in the process. God, I thank you that at Christmas, it is just an invitation from you saying, hope again, get up, lay the cynicism down, put down the wounds, put down the labels, put down all the hurt, put down the betrayal, and just dream and keep going. Because you will run and you will not grow weary, you will walk and you will not grow faint. And God, I pray for those here today that have given up on dreaming, God. They've given up on that longing that you've placed inside of them. God, life got too difficult or circumstances came up and they've just decided that was too hard, that was too much, or I'm never gonna do that again. God, I ask that you would call them out onto the water again. That you would just tell them, hey, it's okay. I know your faith got small, but it's okay to hope again. Would you come on out? And for those of you here or online that maybe you have not yet connected to Jesus, or maybe you haven't connected with him in a long time, let me just tell you, you will only find this hope by being in relationship with him, by being connected with him, by saying, hey, I choose to follow you with everything inside of me. And if that's you here live, I just want you to look up at me. If you're online on our website, you can just click on that button that says, I am choosing to follow Jesus. Click, I'm raising my hand. If you're on Facebook or on YouTube, you can just in the comment section write, I'm following Jesus, or I'm choosing to follow Jesus. Just write Jesus. We'll know. And I want you to pray this prayer with me. It's not anything magic. It's just you connecting to God. And I want you to say, dear Jesus, I give you my life. I know that I am a sinner. And I know that you came and you died for me so that I could hope again. I make you Lord. I surrender everything. And I follow you with everything inside of me. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us on the Humanity Church podcast. We hope that this was a meaningful experience, and we look forward to connecting again next week for another conversation around what it looks like to live by faith, to be known by love, and to be a voice of hope. Again, for more information about Humanity Church, you can visit us online at humanitychurch.com. And if you want to support the ongoing work here at Humanity Church, including this podcast, you can give online in about 10 seconds by texting the word Humanity Church, one word, to 77977. Thanks, and have an amazing week.